Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the podcast of Lotus Eaters for Monday, the 4th of January, 2021. Sorry, I have to do something very quickly. It's nice to be back in the studio, frankly, after having to stay at home for a week. But anyway, we've got a lot to get to today, so let's crack on. We're going to be talking about Trump's bombshell call with Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, which appears to have been a perfect call from Trump's perspective. We're then going to be talking about how Antifa are being completely dumped by the Democrats and by Ted Wheeler in particular, and of course Keir Starmer demanding more lockdown tyranny in complete complete opposition to the facts and the science regarding COVID. Before I start, I should probably shill, shouldn't I? So remember to go to lotuseaters.com if you'd like to support us and sign up and become a member. We've got loads of premium content there, premium podcasts, and of course the book reviews, which I'm really enjoying doing. We've got Frank Dakota's Dictators and The Rule of Law by Tom Bingham, which are really good ones, and soon I will have another one up, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. But anyway, let's get on to Trump's bombshell call, because this is mad, the way that this is being reported. So, as I understand it, did Raffensperger record this and leak it to the New York Times? Or the Washington Post, sorry.
I don't think it's confirmed. It's hard to tell because both of them sound like the other person has recorded it.
Yeah.
But it could be that he recorded it and then added some like voiceover software to make it sound like he's, you know, not the one recording. But
I don't think
we actually have a name of the source, but it's surely not going to be Trump's team that have leaked this.
Well, you wouldn't think so, would you? And I mean, I saw allegations on Twitter saying that Raffensperger had leaked it, but it doesn't say on the audio that is provided by the Washington Post.
So usually when you record something yourself and then leak it, your side sounds better because, of course, it's your recording.
Yeah.
But neither side here sounds better, so it's hard to tell.
Who knows? But anyway, the way this is being reported, as if this is shocking, that Donald Trump is using his executive office as the president to, intimidate or threaten Raffensperger into finding him 11,000 votes so he can win the state of Georgia. But when you actually listen to the full hour, that's not really how it comes across. It begins in the first like half an hour of it with Trump laying out fairly clearly a bunch of election irregularities that definitely deserve further investigation. Raffensperger essentially just summarizes by saying, everything's fine, this was a perfect election, I don't know what you're talking about. What Trump's saying is not based on Dominion. Sorry, go on.
I think it actually is important to say that he starts with saying, okay, there's 11,000 votes that could swing it. I think that 18,000 were not properly signaturized. I think 2,000 were dead people, and he just lists and lists and lists.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, this is obviously enough for this call to be taking place, and you should be investigating. So the subsequent point of people clipping and saying he wants 11,000 votes, well, that's not what he's making the point. You have to devoid the context, because the context is he's saying, you know, there are at least 18,000 that have voiced signatures. And if that's true and you sure to investigate it, that would flip it.
Mm-hmm. So. No, that's completely correct. And the thing is, Trump seems to be saying things that we have been able to verify ourselves in previous podcasts, and things that genuinely seem to be problems that need to be looked at. So Raffensperger saying that everything is just fine is weird, and Trump is not basing his arguments on Dominion. He's basing them on other various things that have happened. But Raffensperger just commits to the point where, no, Trump's data is wrong. Everything that Raffensperger has is correct. And that was it. So we'll go to the first clip. And this kind of, you can see the tension in Trump's voice and the concern. But we'll explain as we go through why this is more important. But let's go through the first clip.
But we didn't want Cobb County. We wanted Fulton County. And you wouldn't give it to us. Now, why aren't we doing signature? And why can't it be open to the public? And why can't we have professionals do it instead of rank amateurs that will never find anything and don't want to find anything? They don't want to find, you know, they don't want to find anything.
Right, so that's Trump's general disposition throughout the entire call, summarized right there. Why is this being hidden? Why can't we do it publicly? And as we'll get to at the end, why is there information that Raffensperger has that the Trump administration is not privy to? We'll go to the next one.
Did you ever check who those votes were for?
We've looked into that situation that you described.
No, they were 100% for Biden. 100%. There wasn't a Trump vote in the whole group. Why don't you want to find this, Ryan? What's wrong with you? I heard your lawyer is very difficult, actually, but I'm sure you're a good lawyer.
So you can obviously hear the frustration. And yeah. The point there, just for the context, is they're talking about overseas and military ballots, which come in together. And Trump's alleging that there was a group of ballots that were 100% Biden, which is almost certainly suspicious and usually not the case for any section of ballots.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Never mind military ballots.
Yeah, and this is why the pausing of the count in various states and then 130,000 ballots for Biden showing up in the middle of the night is just as suspicious. But it really is a repeated point. Again, if we can go to the next one, why don't they want to investigate? That's the question that Trump is really asking.
Good play.
Mr. President, you have people that submit information, and we have our people that submit information, and then it comes before the court, and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
Why do you say that, though? I don't know. I mean, sure, we can play this game with the courts, but why do you say that? Now, first of all, they don't even assign us a judge. They don't even assign us a judge. But why wouldn't you, Brad, why wouldn't you want to check out and why wouldn't you want to say, hey, if in fact President Trump is right about that, then he wins the state of Georgia. Just that one incident alone, without going through hundreds of thousands of drop ballots.
So Trump seems to be making another good point there. If Brad is literally saying, if Raffensperger is literally saying, well, you have your numbers, we have our numbers, they're committed to their numbers and aren't prepared to revise them, we'll take it to the court. If Trump has refused his day in court and a judge isn't assigned to him, how is he supposed to prove his case? And that's what... So the phone call is not just between Trump and Raffensperger. They both have their respective legal teams with them. And this is... The next clip is from Trump's legal team, this lady makes a very, very, very strong case as to why the presidential team have real concerns about what Raffensperger is doing and the reluctance that Raffensperger has to give them the information that they're asking for. Let's go for the fourth one.
Ms. Secretary, Mr. President, I mean, one of the things that we have been, Alex can talk about this, but we've talked about it, and I don't know whether the information has been conveyed to your office, but I think what the President's saying and what we've been trying to do is to say, look, the court is not acting on our petition. They haven't even assigned a judge. But the people of Georgia and the people of America have a right to know the answers. And you have data and records that we don't have access to. And you keep telling us and making public statements that you've investigated this and, you know, nothing to see here. But we don't know about that. All we know is what you tell us. What I don't understand is why it wouldn't be in everyone's best interest to try to get to the bottom, compare the numbers, you know, if you say, because if but to try to be able to get to the truth, and that because we don't have any way of confirming what you're telling us. You tell us that you've had an investigation of the State Farm Arena. I don't have any report. I've never seen a report of investigation. I don't know what that is. I've been pretty involved in this. I don't know. And that's just one of, like, 25 categories. And it doesn't even, and as the President said, we haven't even gotten into the Dominion.
Right. So that is Trump's legal counsel. Honestly, just laying it on the table, how can Raffensperger say, well, we've got a report that you're not allowed to see or we're not going to show you that proves you wrong and you're just going to have to take our word for it? Why would Trump's legal counsel accept that? Why would Trump accept that? I mean, it just looks like Raffensperger is trying to hide something. And this is without even getting, as she said, into the Dominion issue. Dominion was installed in Georgia in 2019, under Raffensperger, incidentally, where they didn't have it before. And up until that point, Georgia had been reliably Republican. Really makes you think. And so she's speaking to the 25 categories, different categories in which votes are situated that are questionable. And Raffensperger will not address any single one of these categories. And so another member of Trump's legal team finishes up the call with this clip, which I think, again, is deeply important because Georgia was only won by about 11,500 votes. And so if the if any one of these categories practically is found to contain votes that are not legal or, as you know, fraudulent,
improper
in any way, then that does flip Georgia for Trump. And so this seems to be really important. It seems to be a matter of actual, like, Republican importance, like genuinely germane to the Republic itself and the security and stability of the entire country, and they can get nowhere. Like, let's play the last clip here.
Ryan, I would like to suggest that just four categories that have already been mentioned by the president that have actually hard numbers of 24,149 votes that were counted illegally. That in and of itself is sufficient to change the result or place the outcome in doubt. We would like to just sit down with your office, and we can do it through purposes of compromise and settlement, just like this phone call, just to deal with that limited category of votes. And if you are able to establish that our numbers are not accurate, then fine. However, we believe that they are accurate. We've had now 3 to 4 separate experts look at these numbers. These numbers are based upon the USPS.
And certified accountants looked at them.
Correct. And this is just based on USPS data and your own Secretary of State data. So that's what we would entreat and ask you to do, to sit down with us in a compromise and settlement proceeding and actually go through the registered voter IDs and the registrations. And if you can convince us that that 24,149 is inaccurate, then fine. But we tend to believe that that is, you know, obviously more than 11,779. That's sufficient to change the result entirely in and of itself. So what would you say to that, Mr. Germany?
Kurt, I'm happy to. I'll get with our lawyers and we'll set that up. That number is not accurate, and I think we can show you for all the ones we've looked at why it's not. And so if that would be helpful, I'm happy to get with our lawyers and set that up with you guys.
Right. So this is practically the end of the call. And as you can see, this shows it's a legal call between two teams of lawyers on both sides, and they have differing numbers. And as Trump's lawyer said, if your numbers are different, well, then let's compare them. And they agree to at some point sit down and compare. Trump goes on about afterwards how important it is this is done quickly, because, yes, that is important. Because on the 6th, it looks like something quite big is going to happen with various protests and things like this that we'll cover tomorrow and probably on Friday, Wednesday as well. This is not Trump using his executive office to intimidate Raffensperger. This is them trying to understand why the numbers are different. And so why have the Washington Post released this as if it's some great haymaker against Trump? As if this is, oh, this proves Trump is corrupt and doing something wrong. I mean, Trump even at some point during the call says, we aren't going on record saying that Dominion did nothing wrong. So he seems to understand that the call is being recorded, and therefore there's a good chance of it being made public, as it has been.
Well, when you're president, you've got to assume every call is recorded.
Exactly, right? So this is not some secret call that Trump has tried to cover up. This is very clearly something he thinks is going to become public, and it takes place between essentially the two teams of lawyers who are trying to just agree on what the numbers of the votes in various counties in Georgia are.
Yeah, like I was expecting something bigger because there was a huge deal made about this.
Yeah.
And I listened to it last night. If I had to summarize the whole thing, it would be quite uneventful call in which a presidential side had called up a state and said, we think your numbers are incorrect. They said, no, we think our numbers are fine. And then they both agreed, well, let's meet up and discuss the numbers.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a total nothing burger. And I mean, Trump's demeanor aside, because Trump's very aggravated by what's happening and the...
But I mean, you would be if you think the election has been stolen.
Yes, you would. The obvious stonewalling from Raffensperger, who is just rejecting everything. And I mean, there's evidence, there's video evidence of some of the things that are alleged that Raffensperger's just rejecting. It's like, okay, well then, you know, we need a day in court, but they can't get a day in court. So what happens now? Again, it looks like that the machinery of the process is being used to stop the process itself. But what's been the reaction to this?
So the reason I got interested in this was the reaction. The reaction's, you know, we got him this time. This is the time we'll finally get Trump. So this is a video that CNN put out, a clip. They got a guy who worked on the Watergate scandal back in the day to come on and talk about this tape. And his response was, it's far worse than Watergate. Like, this is bigger than Watergate. You know, the fact that the president was spying on the opposition, the president complaining that he thinks your numbers are wrong and we ought to meet up and check it, that's worse.
Well, just to give Wikipedia's quick summary of Watergate, because I'm no expert on this, they say that the Watergate tapes revealed that Nixon had conspired to cover up activities that took place after the break-in of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, offices, and that attempted to use federal officers, officials to deflect the investigation. The House Judiciary Committee then approved articles of impeachment against Nixon for obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and contempt of Congress. With his complicity in the cover-up made public and political support completely eroded, Nixon resigned, and it's believed that he would have been impeached and removed by trial had he not. But Trump hasn't done anything wrong.
No, like, I think Nixon's crime here was he was trying to bug the enemy in his presidential run to find out what they were saying.
Which is what Obama did to Trump, incidentally.
And what Trump has done is called up a state and said, I think your numbers are wrong.
Yeah.
Can you double check?
My lawyers have something to say about this. What do your lawyers have to say in return?
What's the crime?
I don't know. I can't even imagine what they think that the crime is.
Yeah, so there's some prominent people who decided to take this their big moment. This is from Twitter. This is what Twitter ran as the story. Trump pressures Georgia Secretary of State to find Trump votes in the state, according to audio by the Washington Post. It's not an accurate representation. But of course, the framing makes it look like Trump was calling up and being like, find me a fix. Fix the state for me.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't in any way threaten Raffensperger. Like, he didn't suggest that executive action was going to be taken, the military isn't going to be sent around to arrest him or something.
Yeah, I mean, the worst you could say is he says that, I think you've got this wrong, and I think the people of Georgia are going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
Like you said, the people of Georgia are going to be angry or mad or whatever word you used.
And doubtless they are, to be honest. But
so what?
Yeah. Like, but I mean, the thing that's most important about this call, the takeaway, is that Trump has said all of these things on Twitter repeatedly. Like, this is almost his daily Twitter tirades now. So it's there was nothing new in this conversation.
Bombshell. Trump sounds on phone how he does on Twitter.
Yeah. It's almost like Trump has no, like, competing internal monologues. It's just this one monologue that always just constantly comes out of his mouth, which honestly is why I kind of like him.
But it's also nice, you know yeah, off-camera and on-camera. He's the same guy.
Yeah, he's exactly the same.
So there's also Michael Cohen got a lot of likes and retweets out of this. Ooh. Just saying that basically, I warned you this would happen. And then there's Kathy Griffin's response to it coming out. Thank you, Amy. This is my porn.
Gross. Of
throw the audio.
Gross.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then the next one here by Keith Olbermann, the CNN host and well-known conspiracy theorist of Trump
Absolute
Russia.
Lunatic.
Like,
absolute
I'm just going to call lunatic. Him conspiracy theorist because that's really
he is.
All I know him for. And his response is, this isn't like Watergate, which was a smoking gun. It's Trump's smoking flamethrower.
But it recorded extortion of Brad Raffensperger to falsify GA's vote total. That's not what happened.
No.
That is absolutely not what happened in that phone call. And the thing is, releasing the call itself was probably an own goal, because Trump makes a lot of good points in there that seem to be valid and deserve investigation.
It's like the Melania call. Don't you remember that one? They released the audio of Melania Trump.
No, what was that one?
Oh, I think that's his wife, isn't it?
And, yeah, that's
and,
his wife.
And the audio was just her complaining, like, why do I have to go to Fox News to get the truth out all the time?
That's a good question.
Is that a dunk on the right wing? Yeah. Like, anyway, but he mentions in here, because he's an absolute nutjob, he's like, oh, he's broken the law. What law? 52 US Code 5, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, okay, seems to know what you're talking about. So I looked it up, and the law is the procurement, casting, or tabulation of ballots which are known to the person to be materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent. That's what Trump's alleging the Democrats did.
That's what Raffensperger is under allegation of.
Like, how could Trump be guilty of that?
But he's not involved in the process.
Yeah, so it's just like these people have no idea what they're talking about. Like, if he had made a point that would actually relate to someone pressuring someone to fake votes.
Yeah.
But that isn't what happened here. He's not even referencing that.
How backwards is that, though? The Trump alleging that this is what's happened and there's lots of evidence and we want an investigation. They're like, yeah, so Trump did the thing he's accusing us of.
Trump was doing election fraud.
Yeah.
For
what? Like, I think gaslighting is just unreal. Just like, okay.
Yeah, anyway, really funny. But this is the thing. Like, I'm sort of, I don't want to say sympathetic, but I can understand why this was a big thing in left-wing echo chambers. Because if you can get the Al Jazeera up, this is just
I guess if you misrepresent it well enough.
Yeah, this is how it was represented. You have the hour-long call. Anyone can go watch it. Watch yourself. Well, listen to it. And but what was floating around on social media was, of course, an edited down version of 4 minutes or a minute. And if we can play the Al Jazeera version, this is what you would have gotten if you were in a left-wing echo chamber.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
So you can hear the three edits there.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's cut together. But the context is obviously him saying, we think this many votes are wrong. And then you say, well, I only need 11,000. There's nothing wrong with recalculating this, because if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And they also cut out at the end there, which we didn't get time to play, was him saying, look, I just want the truth, just, you know, repeatedly saying it.
And not only that, those clips have been reorganized in time. So chronologically, when Trump's like, you know, I just need 11,000 votes, that's towards the end of the conversation, after he's laid out all of these cases, the 25 different categories in which it seems that the votes have been mistabulated, let's say. And so Trump's not seeking, and the reason that he said that is it's clear that he's not trying to, he's not trying anything revolutionary. You know, he's just trying to get these things to be addressed properly, because it looks like if that Trump's case is correct, then he deserves those 11,000 votes. In fact, the 25,000 is the last clip we played. You know, there are huge numbers of votes in question in Georgia, and the margin is so razor thin that it's not like Trump extorting Raffensperger.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild.
So, you know, lock him up and Watergate were trending, and this has been a massive thing, but it's actually a nothing burger, like a complete nothing burger.
Total lies to feed the left-wing echo chamber to further radicalize left-wingers. And speaking of radicalized left-wingers, let's talk about how Antifa are being treated now that they think that Donald Trump has lost the presidential election and that Joe Biden has won. We'll begin with Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler being the mayor of Portland, the progressive mayor of Portland, who has found himself as the right-wing mayor of Portland because of the way that Portland is. It's incredibly radically left-wing. So for years, Wheeler has done nothing about Antifa taking control of various sections of the city, taking over the sort of public political life of the city, intimidating residents, actively attacking their political opponents, and that includes Ted Wheeler himself. Again, this has been going on for years, so I'm summarizing about 4 years worth of Antifa violence in Portland that we've covered many, many times in previous podcasts and on different channels. So we'll just get to what's happened most recently. So this first clip is from the 23rd of July 2020 during a protest against Wheeler himself, in which Wheeler was trying to ingratiate himself. But let's watch it. If we can.
Do we have an hour? Trump equals Stalin.
Yeah. Ted has never been gassed and it shows. These are really uninformed sounds. But this is Ted Wheeler, for anyone who can't see it and is listening to the podcast, being surrounded by mobs of Antifa and booed as he tries to leave. So Ted Wheeler then tries to give a speech to Antifa, and
cringe, right?
It's not the first time he's been chased out of a protest that Antifa have been giving against state oppression, I guess that you would call it. And it's they have arrived at the exactly same point that Patriot Prayer had arrived at, the far right group that had also demanded that Ted Wheeler be removed from his job and resigned from his job. So Antifa and Patriot Prayer both agree on Ted Wheeler. He needs to go. And this next video is from CNN, and it's just them describing what that particular protest. But this was just one protest over 100 nights straight of protests in Portland by the radical left. And they would obviously get in fights with Patriot Prayer. They would destroy property and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to reiterate it all.
Anarchist violence on a daily basis for 100 days.
Yeah, attacking citizens, public buildings, private property. Anyway, let's see what CNN say.
Mayor of Portland, Oregon, has compared the scene in his city overnight to urban warfare. Mayor Ted Wheeler was among those who was tear gassed, there he is there, during a protest against racial injustice and inequality. Clashes between protesters and federal agents the president has deployed there have repeatedly become violent.
So, I mean,
the guy next to him has a little earpiece.
Yes.
Personal bodyguard.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Tate Wheeler trying to, again, ingratiate himself with Antifa, even in July this year, or last year, sorry, doesn't get anywhere. They hate him. He is the problem. He is the state. He's the agent of the state. And this was at the time when Trump was saying, well, no, I'm going to send in federal agents, and he obviously had done. And Ted Wheeler had openly said, we don't want your federal agents. Stay out of Portland, you Nazi. And so this had continued escalating. In September 2020, Ted Wheeler was forced to flee his own apartment when Antifa had attacked it. As reported by Oregon Live, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler says he's looking for a new place to live after his Pearl District condo building had been the site of repeated demonstrations, including on Monday when crowds demanded he resign and some people set fires and broke windows. This was Antifa. This wasn't Patriot Prayer. In an email Tuesday from Wheeler to the other residents of the 16-floor high-rise tower, so he's endangering other people by having such a light touch with Antifa, because at no point has he done anything significant to rein in Antifa up until this point. But he says, it would be best for me and everyone else's safety and peace if he found a new home. And he assured the people that police taking their safety concerns seriously. Again, horrifically ironic, considering he had not taken the danger of Antifa seriously at all.
I mean, just to be clear, that protest, that little segment there, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's them at that courthouse where people had thrown IEDs and tried to burn down a skyscraper that's the courthouse, which would have, you know, caused how much damage?
No, I think it was a separate one. I think that was a separate occurrence.
I'm pretty sure it was at the courthouse, man.
It may well have been at the courthouse, but that wasn't at his house, at his apartment.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the footage of the protest where...
Yeah, that was the courthouse, yeah. But the September protest at his apartment, also where his apartment was set fire to, his condo, or the building was set fire to, endangering the other residents, et cetera, et cetera.
But that's my point. The fact that this skyscraper might have been taken down, sided with them, and his condo is getting attacked and would kill other people.
Yeah. And all through this time, he has tried to ingratiate himself into their movement.
But these people are attempted murderers, if not manslaughter.
Well, I mean, Michael Reinl was 100% Antifa, and yeah, was a successful murderer. So, and this happened in Portland. Again, all of this happened under Ted Wheeler's watch, and he has been permissive of it. And I think he was permissive of it, and again, right up until September, because that was pre-November, pre the apparent election victory of Joe Biden. Now that Joe Biden appears to be the president-elect and he's going to be the guy that we assume is going to win.
Oh, and Ted Wheeler's got re-elected as well.
Oh, and Ted Wheeler got re-elected because he's now the right-wing candidate for stability and order against the radical leftist Mao skirt-wearing woman who presumably wants full communism. But now that Ted Wheeler's been re-elected and it looks like Biden's good to go and it looks like Trump's gone, this is what Ted Wheeler has to say about Antifa now. Can we hear it?
My good faith efforts at de-escalation have been met with ongoing violence and even scorn from radical Antifa and anarchists. In response, it will be necessary to use additional tools and to push the limits of the tools we already have to bring the criminal destruction and violence to an end. Lawlessness and anarchy come at great expense and with great risk to the future of our community. It's time to push back harder against those who are set on destroying our community and to take more risks in fighting lawlessness. In closing, once again, I condemn anyone who engages in violence or criminal destruction, no matter what their ideology.
Okay, well, I mean...
What a transparent scumbag. Well, I've got no sympathy for this man. The de-escalation. You were out there with them. That's a de-escalation, is it?
And it wasn't just once. He's been out there with them multiple times, and he has been chased off from their protest multiple times, because he is the target of the protest. And... it's just amazing, isn't it, that now he sounds just like Trump. Now it's like, oh, we're going to use the full force of the law to crack down these. Like 6 months ago, he's like, Trump, don't you dare send troops in to put down these protests. How dare you, you Nazi. And now he's in exactly the goddamn same thing. And it's, why did it take this long? This was true on day one. This was true on the first time they started bullying and harassing and burning things. This was true right up until the point where Antifa shot someone in the street. It was true up until the point where they were attempting to set fire to your house. And it's only now that this is the problem. It's obvious that you've been using Antifa as a political tool. It's obvious that that's been the case. And this isn't going to work very well, is it, Ted? You know, it's not like Antifa. I mean, you're in a city. Portland is probably the most left-wing city in the United States for like open radicalism. And it's not like this is just going to go away now that you're like, well, we're going to get the police to arrest you. Okay, well, you know that they're terrorists, don't you, Ted? You know, and what do these terrorists do? Well, they do the sort of thing that they did to Nancy Pelosi recently, which is absolutely like vandalize her property. And can we get the picture up so we can see it? Because the picture is definitely worth it.
So they went to her personal home.
Yeah, they went to her, well, one of her homes, right? One of Nancy Pelosi's homes. This is a $5.4 million, four-bedroom, three-property house, which is one of her residences.
So for people who are California. Listening, you want to describe it?
So for people who are listening, there's a picture of the sort of garage doors on the ground floor with 2K, with that crossed out, cancel rent, with an anarchist symbol and "we want everything" written on it. And then there is a pig's head in the front, just on the floor in front of the garage, and there's blood strewn around on the floor. Could that be any more clear?
Yeah. We want socialism. We don't care about your handouts, and we're coming for you.
Here's a pig's head and loads of blood to make the point.
No, this rise in right-wing violence has to stop.
Yeah. Well, incidentally, on that note, there is a fake tweet going around that appears to be from Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, the white supremacist did this. That's a fake tweet. She didn't tweet about this at all, which is really interesting. Because you would think that if this was something she was expecting and felt that she could handle, she'd tweet out some virtue signally message about it and then get it all in order behind the scenes. But instead, she hasn't said a goddamn word, which makes me think, well, this was unexpected or perhaps unplanned. But she wasn't the only one. Mitch McConnell got his house vandalized too for a fairly similar message. No pig's head for Mitch McConnell. I guess the pig's head is really reserved for the Democrats themselves. Yeah. But the message read, where's my money? Mitch kills the poor. And This comes after Mitch McConnell has blocked the $2,000 stimulus check that Trump was arguing for and Bernie was arguing for, saying this is socialism for rich people, etc., etc. I don't want to go into that now because it's just not the subject of what we're going for. But these terrorists are not going away. Pelosi, the Squad, all of the Democrats have been playing defense for Antifa for years because they viewed them as on their political side. They viewed them as part of their own constituency. And now they're not going to just go away because they're no longer politically useful. And so you would think that these sort of more radical left-wing elements would have something to say about this. And AOC did have something to say about this. She was complaining about these, you know, the stimulus, the big stimulus bill. And she's been complaining about Pelosi for years. And yet they all just went out and voted for Pelosi to become the Speaker of the House again, which she was elected on. Did you want to play the video?
Yeah, if we can, because it's also just funny to make this point. Because there's so many leftists, especially Cenk, trying to be like, no, we never back Pelosi. But
Ocasio-Cortez. Pelosi.
Just exactly. Whipped into line. And it's amazing that all of the squad voted for Pelosi, despite the fact they claim that they hate neoliberalism, they hate capitalism, these people are the problem. When Pelosi's there in front of her, like, $25,000 fridge going, oh, good luck, poor people. Like, and they're like, yeah, okay, Pelosi. It's like, you're weak. You're absolutely weak. So Pelosi gets reelected with a diminished majority. And it takes someone like Steve Scalise to call out Pelosi instead. Steve Scalise being the Republican judge who was shot in 2017 by a Bernie bro at a baseball game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So again, terrorists, radical Antifa terrorists, have shot this guy. He's now a representative. He's elected representative. But he just tweets out, unbelievable. Looks like Nancy Pelosi is keeping Representative Eric Salwell on the House Intelligence Committee in the new Congress, even after his ties to a Chinese spy were exposed. Why do Democrats refuse to stand up to China? Eric Salwell being the guy who was caught having an affair with a Chinese spy. Like, why is she keeping him on the House Intelligence Committee? Again, he's clearly compromised. Like, what is wrong with these people? I just don't understand what their values are and what they think they're doing. And in fact, we'll go into that in a second. I've just got to clear my throat.
It's kind of swamp people for me. Like Pelosi, Joe Biden, these are just swamp people.
Totally. 100% swamp people. And they're totally corrupt, and they seem to be in the pocket of China, which is why Salwell gets to be on the Intelligence Committee, even though he's compromised by a Chinese agent. Like, I don't know what
to say.
It's
not a bug, it's a feature, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bug, it's a feature. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But what are they concerned with? What are their values? Well, as reported by the Post-Millennial, Nancy Pelosi and the Rules Committee Chairman James P. McGovern, a Democrat from Massachusetts, have proposed rules that aim to do away with gendered language. Oh, that's useful. That was kitchen table priority for Americans, I'm sure, right? Congress has proposed rules to eliminate language denoting mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, uncles, aunts, and other familial relationships. It wants to instead insert parent, child, sibling, spouse, or parent-in-law, and obviously strike himself or herself and insert themself into the congressional proceedings.
Right. Like this is under the guise of we want to be less misogynist or sexist, therefore we'll get rid of the sex barriers. But that's not what they're doing at all, because then why do you need to get rid of father, daughter, and all the rest of it?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a description of what you are.
Exactly.
Like, it's very clearly an attack on families.
Exactly. It's the sundering of relationships. Like, what they're doing is, you know, a parent and a child, well, what that doesn't have to be connected, right? But a father and a daughter, there is an implied connection between a father and a daughter, the father being the parent, the daughter the thing. So if you're trying to remove the kind of, and this is something I'm going to talk about in a premium podcast fairly soon, actually, I'm going to sit down and teach you all of this stuff that I've been reading, because this is important stuff, right? Because this is an example of what we call thick language, right? In the terms of father, there are a bunch of assumptions that are built into it, that it's a man, that he has a direct relationship with the child, that he is therefore responsible for the child, that he has a familial bond with the child, that he is emotionally invested in the child. There's all of these assumptions built
into... He owns the child.
That he owns the child, that the child is his. There's all of these assumptions built into that one word. It's a very thick word. It's a lot dense with concepts. And what you do when you reduce it to parent, you take away all of those things. Parent could be mother or father. So all that information is gone now. You know, you don't have all of this extra human information. But like I said, I'll talk about it in a premium podcast, which is why you should sign up to lotuses.com, because you aren't going to get this kind of quality analysis anywhere else, I promise.
This is the kind of garbage we actually had at university in my time.
Well, so, and we'll go into that in a second, because this is all important to look at the values they're promoting. God damn it. So this next one, and again, this has just happened. This was passed in June 2019, but only took effect on New Year's Day. Beverly Hills has decided to ban the sale of tobacco. Why? Who's calling for this? Whose job is this, right? The then mayor of the city, John Mirisch, said at the time, "We are a city that has taken the lead on restricting smoking and promoting public health. Somebody has to be first, so let it be us. These are the values of our community." Like, what? This reflects the values of our community. What a bizarre thing to do. Like, what values are? The values of the community are, we don't like that you do something.
Smoking is haram. That's the values.
Exactly. How is this not like progressive Sharia?
Like, why not ban alcohol then? What is the argument?
Yeah, we're going to ban gendered pronouns. We're going to ban tobacco. I mean, I guess they like their wine still, so I guess they don't want to get rid of that yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, what value set are we looking at that says this thing that you like is forbidden because it's bad for your health? Again, somebody had to be the first to ban tobacco to promote public health.
Isn't weed legal in California as well?
Yes. I don't know. there's no consistency. And this is the thing. What are their values? And their values seem to be insane.
I was going to mention the university thing. I'll do it now. But it's essentially, in university, we got told in our report, so this is not just a social science thing. This is in physics. So when we did our lab report, so it's gone into the hard studies now, like Jordan Peterson warned, this is a small thing. But it's when you mention someone in your report, you couldn't use anything gendered. So you couldn't say he, she, or anything like that.
It.
What I ended up using was worker. which is just very communist, but that's sort of the point, isn't it, you know?
But that is exactly the point. But we'll talk about this in a premium podcast, because I've done loads of work on this.
But the worker does X. It's so dry.
It's fascinating. Yeah, well, this is what we could term scientific language, which isn't really very useful to describing human concepts, like people. But anyway, so yeah, like whatever the values of the Democrats are at this point, I have no idea. And it seems that they don't either. They've been openly in favor of terrorism. And now they're like, okay, but you're not going to smoke tobacco around, you know, here. It's like, okay, but I've been to Beverly Hills.
No tobacco in the commune, lads.
Yeah, but I've been to Beverly Hills. You can just walk into it and then walk out of it. So I could just walk out of Beverly Hills, buy my tobacco, and then go back in, right? I mean, it's not like, it's not actually walled off or anything.
But surely if it's a value judgment, they want to ban it in all of California next.
I don't doubt that will be the case, yeah. But
calling it, that would be a proposition in, I don't know, let's say 4 years.
But again, like, the idea that public health supersedes your rights, your bodily autonomy. I mean, what happened to my body, my choice? Like, it's a total contradiction to that principle, but now it's public health is going to supersede. The greater good is coming in. It's like, I don't know why anyone votes for the Democrats. I think they're awful. How's Keir Starmer?
Keir Starmer? Well, how's Boris? Same question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same question. Boris is just going to do what Keir Starmer said.
Yeah. I mean, this is the crazy thing. Like, I quite like some of the ministers, but my God, the Prime Minister, you've convinced me it's a waste of time.
He's just weak. And the thing is, it's not like I don't personally like Boris, but it's just like, dude, you need to stand up to Labour. You absolutely. So Keir Starmer is calling for more tyranny when it comes to the lockdown, which shouldn't come as much of a surprise, given he was an open Maoist in his youth. Just
to preempt, just for anyone who doesn't know the situation in the UK, so we've had a new strain of virus, blah, 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 and the numbers have skyrocketed, so it's in response to that.
There are more infections going up, but the number of deaths is not especially high. What was it, 453 yesterday?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, I checked. I think it was yesterday or the day before. It's 453 deaths, which is bad, but the number of infections is 57,000. So it's proportionally very, very small. So this is the situation we find ourselves in. And Keir Starmer obviously looked at numbers on paper and was like, right, that's it. Close the schools. This is what he tweets out. The virus is clearly out of control. It's not good enough for the Prime Minister to hint at further restrictions at unspecified times and then do nothing. He must put national restrictions in place within the next 24 hours. No more dither, no more delay. You're not in charge of anything, Keir. Shut up. He doesn't have to do any of these things, and there are actually really good reasons not to do these things. But to be honest, Boris actually held the line, just about, on this. Today is the day that primary schools were due to open, and they have indeed opened, or at least some of them have opened, most of them have opened. So we'll get to this in a minute. And so kids, including mine, have actually gone back to school, which is good, because they need to be at school, because it's bad for the child to have their education restricted. I mean, I don't want to oversell this, right? But making sure that kids don't get an education is what slavers used to do to the children of the slaves they owned, because they didn't want those children of the slave being intelligent. That's not good for them. They want them on the plantation. And I genuinely am starting to think the same sort of mentality is being reproduced here. Obviously, I'm not saying that Keir Starmer wants to own your children as slaves.
Well,
I am actually saying that. No, I am actually saying that. Keir Starmer,
but that's all socialists want.
Exactly. And the rest of Labour, they want to own your children. And the easiest way for them to do But the easiest way for them to do that is for your children to be stupid. And that's why they don't want them to have education. I speculate.
This used to be the old socialist argument for funding public school, was you need to get it away from the capitalists who want all the kids to work in the factories. Yeah. And that will give them all education.
And now they don't want them to work at all.
Yeah, weird,
isn't
it?
That's the point, though. But anyway, so Boris had turned around and said, no, look, there's no doubt in my mind that schools are safe. He did not rule out further closures. And he said that the risk to children was very, very low and the benefit was so huge. We'll go through the risk to children, if you can even call it that, in a minute. The benefit of education obviously is massive. Anyone who wants to deprive your children of an education is someone you should be deeply suspicious of, and consider not only not have their best interests at heart, but to be actively malevolent and is trying to hurt them, right? If you try and prevent children from getting an education, you're a bad person. But we'll get on to some bad people in a minute. In fact, we'll go for the first one, right? So the first one is an absolute liar called Laura Duffel. Now, this is a nurse who went on BBC 5 Live and just openly lied. In fact, can we play this? I know I said we weren't going to play it, but can we play this?
Just because it's too shocking.
Yeah, it
we'll do the Twitter one. I don't care if it repeats, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very different. And I think that's what makes it so much scarier for us as nurses and doctors and porters and, you know, healthcare assistants and everyone else who's working on the front line. We have children who are coming in. It was minimally affecting children in the first wave. We have a whole ward of children here. And I know that some of my colleagues are in the same position where they have whole wards of children with COVID. 20 and 30 year olds with no underlying health conditions are coming in. You know, it's people that also aren't aware of how sick they are. So they'll come into A&E with difficulty in breathing, thinking that maybe they've contracted COVID. And, you know, you check their observations and they're in a lot worse position than they even realise. And you just look at some people, and because of how low their oxygen levels are, they're not even aware that it's kind of like you become euphoric and, you know, you think everything's fine, but it's just not. In intensive care, you could have up to,
okay, we can pause three. Because that's
the headline from the BBC.
Yeah.
The headline bit there was ward full of children.
Yeah. Because that's the bit that's been the takeaway from this. This is a lie. This is outright not true. According to other doctors who work in things like, oh, I don't know, London Children's Hospitals. This chap is Ronnie Chung. He's a paediatrician, a visiting fellow at the Nuffield Trust, an associate editor of ADC BMJ, British Medical Journal, and an ex-cabinet office advisor. So he's not a nobody. He's totally credentialed. He seems to be completely experienced. And he says, I've been the on-call consultant in a London Children's Hospital this week. This is simply not true and irresponsible in the extreme. It frightens parents, fuels COVID deniers. COVID is rife in hospitals, but not among children. We have enough to deal with without this garbage. And he was not the only one. There were lots of other doctors on Twitter who came out and said, no, we're London doctors. This is not true. Children are not under any particular threat of COVID. They are not filling out the wards. Why is this person lying on the radio?
Well, and why is the BBC keeping it up after being informed?
Totally unchallenged. Yeah, exactly. No correction to my knowledge so far, right? So who is Laura Duffel? Well, it turns out she's an NHS activist, basically. Here's her saying, let's get the government to sit up and pay attention. We aren't going to stay quiet. This was the 8th of August protest against, the government for not giving the NHS pay rises.
I can see stand-up to racism signs there.
Yep.
For what reason?
Radical left.
Socialist Party.
Labour Party, Socialist Party. Yeah. You can see it all in their protest signs and their placards. It's all the same sort of stuff.
It's the same crowd. Right? Every single left-wing protest is the same people.
Exactly. It's all the same people, right? If we can go to the next one, here she is, actually promoting a petition for a staff pay rise. She, being a member of staff for the NHS, means that she's saying, give me money, Gibbs. So there we go.
I mean, me too.
Yeah.
Anyway, move on.
Yeah. And then, well, this next one of hers, this was just me taking a brief look through her timeline. NHS for Black Lives Matter. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, she's a communist who's seeking to expand the size of the state, which means lining her own pockets, and is openly using lies in order to fearmonger. And she said, it's frightening. That was the first word in that clip. It's frightening. Well, yeah, it would be frightening if it were true.
Yeah, I mean, if she wants
but
to be
not
a,
true.
If a nurse or doctor wants to be a left winger in their time, fine, whatever. But don't go on national national radio and television and just openly lie. I mean, the same thing happened just this morning. We didn't have time to add it with Good Morning Britain. So Piers Morgan had a guy on to give a talk about how bad it is and how we need a lockdown now, and then used it as like, look, this doctor thinks that we should do it. We ought to do it. And then within like 5 minutes, Guido was able to find out he's reposting on Facebook Socialist Workers Party stuff.
What a surprise.
F. Boris, all the rest of this. It's like, well, he's
another communist liar who's fearmongering to you about your children, the children that he wants to hurt through a lack of education.
Is every doctor a communist? Can we not find one that's not?
I'm sure there are loads. Well, we know there are loads that aren't, because they're the ones coming out and going, this isn't true. Why are you saying these things are openly untrue? But this goes into the pattern of, again, deception regarding the NHS. Oh, the NHS is underfunded. No, it's not. The NHS is overburdened through COVID patients. No, it's not, you know.
The time of speaking, no. What was it, 60-70% capacity?
Well, no, it was 88%, which is totally average. In fact, it's below average. It's normally about 80-90% average for this time of year. So it's actually below average, and it was very under average throughout the summer.
I mean, this isn't to say it could get up there and then it'll be a problem, but don't lie to people. Don't say it's overdone when it's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. And the NHS has been reducing the number of beds that they have because of a lack of need, because of the capacity staying relatively stable. So it's just like, like I said, I'm not saying that this couldn't be the case. I'm saying it just doesn't appear to be from the information we have. I mean, Richard Tice contradicted Matt Hancock going on TV and saying, well, we've got all of these other things ready to go. And it's like, no, they've been decommissioned. Why are you lying about the NHS? And why is Matt Hancock following essentially the Labour position on deceiving the public about the NHS? But anyway, we don't know why they're a bunch of liars, but they are. And obviously, this is something that deeply infects the school unions. This was from today, in fact. So the unions have been beating this drum for the past week or so. After an emergency meeting on Saturday, the National Education Union, which represents 450,000 education workers, called on Boris Johnson to move learning online for at least 2 weeks. It also told members they have a legal right not to work in an unsafe environment. So basically, they're trying to get schools shut down because they're saying that the teachers are in some sort of particular danger, which they don't appear to be, or the students are in a particular danger, which they don't appear to be. And so this has caused, in many areas, and there have been about half a dozen schools in Swindon, where we are, that have decided, oh, we're going to close because of the unions giving us health warnings. It's like, they're not an authority on what's dangerous. Like, they are a bargaining tool against the government, presumably.
I mean, you remember the education union we covered before. Their previous leader was
sending... It's the same one.
Their previous leader was sending money to Cuba.
Yeah.
And then sending fact-finding missions.
Yeah. The unions are just controlled by radical leftists.
They almost certainly donate to the Labour Party.
Without a doubt. They're all going to be members of the Labour Party. You know, this is the thing. Like, these unions are controlled by radical leftists. It's radical leftists lying about this situation, and they're trying to fearmonger everyone into shutting down the schools so your children's education is affected in the long term. It's unconscionable. But this, and so, like, Swindon has just been moved into Tier 4. How many people have died in Swindon then? Well, on New Year's Day and the day after, four people had died in Swindon. But that's because we'd had a long period of time where nobody had died with COVID in the hospital. So it's like, okay, now four people, two on each day. Again, we don't know how old these people were. We weren't given that information. But since the average age of death for the coronavirus is 82, according to government statistics, and the average age of, from COVID this is, and the average age of death in the UK overall is 81, I don't really think this is a thing we have to particularly worry about.
Or at least it's not proportionate.
Well, I mean, back in May, I just started looking for some information about this. So back in May, like, the data at the time, in the UK, 0 to 9, there were zero fatalities. No children under 10 had died from COVID. And if you were under 40, there was a 0.2 chance of death. So that's just, you're just not in danger if you're an adult and you aren't, like, massively obese or something, or, you know, you don't have some sort of lung condition or something like that. I mean, the information I could find in preparation for this from California from December the 29th, again, reflects the same sort of thing. For 17 and under, out of 270,000 cases, there had been 6 deaths. And that, again, is deaths within 28 days of having a positive test. That is not direct causal link between having COVID and dying, you know? So, again, it doesn't seem to affect children at all, really. And this is out of, in California, and this was from December the 29th, 2.2 million cases with 24,000 deaths. Again, that's a really small percentage. And it's, again, not definitely causal. And mostly, it's very old people who get sick and die because, unfortunately, that's what happens when you get old. But the response from people, again, Labour left-wing activist, an MP, Zara Sultana, if we can get her tweet up. Like, this, unreal. This is frightening. We can't afford any more delay. The government needs to immediately announce a full national lockdown with all schools closed and proper financial support for all. This is also what's being promoted by Labour unions, despite complete lack of evidence for efficacy. She didn't add that. I added that. But but that's the point, though, isn't it? You know, like there's no proof that lockdowns prevent the spread of the coronavirus because we are still in, we're going back up. Look at that. The UK's COVID-19 curve is now almost vertical. Okay, well, we're back in the lockdowns. We've been in a lockdown in November. Why is this happening? Why isn't the coronavirus dead if the lockdowns are a solution? But again, this is frightening. They're trying to fearmonger. They want you to be afraid so they can lock you up in your homes and make you a serf of the government, dependent on just perpetual handouts. Keep your children at home so they can't get an education. Who wants this future? This is what we're staring at. And I think it's worth pointing out that there's been the left-wing media narrative, oh, women leaders have been handling this brilliantly, not according to one study. UK and US researchers analysed the number of deaths from COVID-19 in 175 countries during the opening months of the pandemic, and they found there was not any statistical significant support for the notion that women leaders had handled the pandemic better. Instead, they argued, pandemic outcomes were likely dependent on a variety of other factors, including country-specific cultural values. The notion that women-led countries have fared better is the result of inherent media biases, the researchers proposed. I agree.
Like, to anyone normal, this is a complete blank face, non-surprise. But to all the left, it's like Pikachu face.
Yeah.
How could this happen?
Yeah, exactly. And you had a bit about how the lockdowns are screwing us over, didn't you?
Yeah. So the worst recovery is probably going to be the UK. This was a poll of economists. I forget the one you put in. So we can get that one up. But the fact that we're going to be bad at recovering is one thing. But also the debt.
Yeah, yeah.
The debt is also a massive issue. So we took on a massive amount of borrowing because of the virus, just like everyone else. And if I can get the numbers, I think we're over £2 trillion in debt now, which is just a number, I guess. But that took us from 85% debt to GDP ratio to 99.5% debt to GDP ratio.
Look at this graph. So for anyone who can't see it, there's a general downturn until in borrowing. So going from over $157 billion in 2009.
So this is the recovery from the 2008 crash. We've been working hard at this to get it down, or at least the government was.
Yes.
And then this.
And this got down to less than $50 billion in 2018. And then up to $240 billion this year, or last year. So anti-conservative is the only way you can really describe it.
Well, all of the work of the last 10 years has just gone down the toilet.
Yeah, completely erased. I mean, this is Jeremy Corbyn's wet dream. This is exactly what Jeremy Corbyn would have loved. More borrowing, more spending.
Mm. But it's not just that. Like, there's a graph of the GDP growth, if you can get that one up. Next one. The IMF have made... Nope, this is the survey we were talking about. We're in the wrong order. But this is just a survey of people saying it'll be
just
bad.
Go for the, I think it's just the next one.
Yeah, just go to the next one. No, the next link.
Oh, no, that's fine, though. I mean, that's an interesting one to show as well. Like,
funny says don't show next to it, so I don't even have it out.
Right, but I mean, the one that's on the screen at the moment, you can just see the public debt and how it's gone up, and now it's gone up even more because of Rishi Sunak. And everyone's treating... Like, the Conservative government, as you can see from this chart, is just borrowing far more than the Labour government ever did. It's mad.
Yeah. But if it's the link underneath the red one, if you can get that one up. It's just the IMF saying what'll be the growth for 2020.
Yeah.
And if you can't, it's fine. It's just that the growth of the UK is minus 9% for this year. It's just 9% of the GDP just gone.
Only minus 9%, actually.
Yeah. So if you go down and you'll want to change the date to 2020, so I think this is predicting 2021. Big bounce back year for everyone, obviously. So
well, let's hope so, yeah. Well, there we go. We can see it there.
No, that's 2019. Get it.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, and then scroll up. Look at the map. There you go. Look at that red. I mean, that's the global economy right now. You know, China's doing great.
Anyway, yeah, right.
I think it's 2% growth or something like that. Everyone else, absolutely, absolutely down the toilet.
Yeah, what's Guyana doing so right there?
Oh, yeah, Guyana's got plus 20, which, I don't know.
Good for them.
But Venezuela next door, minus 25% for 1 year.
But this is mad. So, I mean... It's like the labor activists don't seem to understand that the lockdowns cause death.
Yeah, they have consequences.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get the statistics for this podcast, but we can do it another time. Maybe we'll do a premium podcast about this. The consequences of the lockdowns. But increase in suicides, increase in deaths from people who are untreated from diseases, and like spousal abuse and children being murdered.
I mean, this, I don't believe this data is released, and I think we'll have to wait a year for actually getting it. But I do have the data, which we're expecting for the end of this year, just to show how bad it has been. Because the whole point was we mitigate the virus by destroying our own economy, and this will slow down deaths, and that's a good trade-off. That's the government's argument. So calculating from this, from the ONS data, we're expected to get just under 600,000 deaths this year. Compared to the last 5 years, it was about 520,000. So it's a 14% increase in deaths for this year. So it's obviously quite a big chunk, you know, a lot more deaths.
Significant.
Yeah. But the question is, okay, well, now we're in a state where you saw that graph, which is vertical growth. Well, this strategy of locking down was to mitigate the virus. Okay, we're not mitigating it right now, and we're all in tier 4.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some lucky people who are in tier 3. But what that means for American viewers is essentially lockdown.
Yeah.
There is very little difference between what it is now and lockdown, besides schools being closed.
Yeah, you can't go to pubs, you can't go to restaurants, there's nothing social that's open. Again, this is what Labour want for you. They don't want you to do anything, they want you to sit at home and be a serf. There's nothing you can do.
But the tools in the toolbox seem to be out. And I'm not proposing what the government should do next, because I don't want to make any predictions, but this era of being able to be, oh, we'll just lock down and everything will be fine, that's definitely dead. That's long gone.
Lockdowns didn't work. They were unconstitutional. They were deeply immoral, and they were damaging to people who were otherwise healthy. Like all of these people who have committed suicide, or the people who have been murdered in their homes by their spouses or their parents. Like these people didn't have to die. These were things that have all happened and will all happen because of bad government policy that didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, even if we want to make the argument that it was a mitigation, we weren't trying to eradicate the virus, we was just mitigate it. The data on that...
Mission successful, then. The NHS is just fine.
Yeah, but now we're in a new stage where it's so infectious, as we are told, that that's not going to work. Well, in which case, there's no point advocating for a lockdown, Keir Starmer.
No.
That's a mitigation strategy for something you're not mitigating at all.
Yeah, and fundamentally, like Keir Starmer, the way that he framed this was, you know, the virus is out of control. Well, the virus was never inside our control. This was the thing. We do not have control over viruses. And this is the most important point that people should take away. Governments do not control viruses. Governments control people. That's all they can do. All they can do is exercise control over the individual in regards to what they can do legally and illegally and how they can go about their lives. So when they say control the virus, they mean control you. End of story. Anyway, that was a lot. So let's
go through this. Let's try and blast through the super chats.
So we had a lot to cover. Again, if you want to support us, you can go to lotusseeds.com and become a member and get... Oh, wow, that's great. You can go to lotusseeds.com, become a member, and get access to loads of extra premium content. We will be doing a premium podcast on stuff about this that we probably shouldn't talk about otherwise on YouTube or anything that might get us in trouble. But that will come later in the week. Anyway... Novo Brannick says, wanted to push back on Callum offhand remark on Friday, murdering protesters en masse on the regular basis. On the regular basis doesn't happen in Russia last time. Okay.
I was more in reference to Belarus, I'll be honest. Like the fact that they were just beating them up in the streets.
Well,
in response to the election.
Yeah, that wasn't Russia, though. Something happened in 93 when Yeltsin ordered tanks shoot an elected parliament.
Yep. You don't know about that?
No, I didn't.
It's amazing. He's shooting the White House. And I think they had Gorbachev inside. Christ. The communists were trying to do a coup.
Yeah.
They're just come out. And they refused. They just started shooting them with a tank.
Christ.
You're coming out.
Okay. Novo Brannick has sent us a bunch of things, but... We accept the criticism.
For me, blah, 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 comedian involved in CNN investigation, it's more important, and more distrust of Navalny's claims.
It's not really very relevant to what we're talking about, so I'd like to move on.
Yeah.
President-elect Joe Biden says, free Assange, write to Boris or your local MP now. It's ridiculous how long Assange has been persecuted. Trump should just pardon him. Then end all of this by pardoning him. Not a banned account. Don't trust the Senate 10-day election review. I don't. Mute Stream says, the simp wars has begun. Lotus simpers will unite. I'm not your buddy guy says, I'm not your guy friend. I'm not your friend guy. Michael VPS says, will America split like Rome into East and West? Rome split wasn't ideological. Rome split was practical because it was very difficult to govern a massive empire. So I don't know. And I don't want to make predictions because we're in pretty uncharted waters. Not a Band Account says, more Sargon body pillows, notice me senpai. We'll see what we can do. Krizzle says, Marie Antoinette did nothing wrong. She wasn't even French between her and Joan of Arc. I think the French just hate having good things. Man, that's a big conversation for another time. Wayne D'Souza says, have some Canadian rubles from a soon-to-be police state. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Thanks, man. And 50 Canadian dollary dues. Thank you. It's going bad everywhere, man. Voff says, without repercussions, what repercussions, if any, would you like to see politicians and media get for mishandling the COVID crisis?
Jail.
We'll talk about that on the premium podcast, I think. Krizzle says, Caesar did nothing wrong besides non-monohamy. I think you mean monogamy there. But I don't know. I don't know. I think there is an argument that Caesar had done something wrong, but anyway.
I mean, I'll list the genocides. But...
Yep. DRT is King says, oh no, T-Money is pressuring someone in an attempted statement. What kind of bundle of sticks are in control of GA? We Floridians should march north. Moving on. Evan Meshenick. It's pronounced like mechanic, but with an ash. With an S. Also, you should throw the Remainers into Boston Harbor if they keep acting up. It worked for us Yankees. We've already metaphorically done that. The Brexit's over. We got what we wanted. And
they're
moving
to France, aren't they? Like they said they would.
Yeah. So. We're all waiting. You know, notice that they're not moving to Serbia or something. Weird, isn't it? Thomas Smith says, been watching since Gamergate. I grew up without a father and appreciate you being the father figure I needed to have a strong moral compass. Godspeed. Thanks, man. That's really, really sweet. Thank you. I'm glad to have helped, to be honest. I'm not your buddy guy. It says, if you ask me, I believe President Trump needs to cross the Rubicon in order to save the Republic. The corruption runs deep. I may well do a podcast talking about this because this is a big subject and
unsafe for this platform.
Yeah, not only unsafe for this platform, but Trump wouldn't be Caesar, I don't believe. Anyway, Josh Leek says, wishes luck, boys. My family is leaving modern living to start up a farm. We are looking for land and praying we can get something set up before the commies come knocking with their great reset. They will come knocking with their great reset as well. On the plus side, though, land's probably quite cheap at the moment. Jeremy McDude says, hey Carl, hey Callum, how are things in the UK? Terrible. Quick question. Does anyone there watch Formula One racing? Opinions on Knight Lewis Hamilton? Do you watch?
I don't. My dad and my brother do. People like it here. What people's views on Lewis Hamilton? My dad and my brother just think he's virtue signaling because of that.
Right, okay. I don't know anything about it. So.
He's the one who's been like, you know, massive Black Lives Matter doing the knee for it and all that. It's right. Just like everyone else in Formula One, my understanding is like... Yeah,
well, my opinion of Lewis Hamilton is that he's stunning and brave. Benjamin Grieco says, doing a 22-hour slog from Adelaide to Bundaberg. Hour waits to cross borders here. At the moment, COVID testing turns my 22-hour slog into a 28-hour slog. Love the podcast. Still for the site here. I'm glad that we can provide some interesting entertainment for your... And hopefully thinking material for your long journey. I can't pronounce those numbers. They're not even numbers. What am I talking about? It's letters. It's been a long day, and it's not even over.
Oh, really? We need some reading lessons, do we?
Shut up. Can you please explain to my normie parents the dangers of Alexa? Yes, but not now.
Just do they want a microphone that can listen to them all the time in the house?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Why would you want that? Like, I really hate it. Krizzle says, I fear the sixth will bring chaos, but let the powerful remember that those who borrow power from the people are in the people's debt for it. Yeah, I think there is going to be massive chaos on the sixth. We'll probably talk about this a bit closer to the time. There's going to be huge protests. Lim Wood's been going mad on Twitter. We'll probably have to do a premium podcast talking about that too. Because again, it's just not safe.
It's also funny.
and it's hilarious. Kui Ook says, lockdown debate is lost. Discuss vaccine passport now. Government must never dictate which groups people, companies can and can't do business with. Yeah, well, I mean...
You missed President Joe Biden. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As a representative of the CCP, I can neither confirm nor deny we paid Raffensperger any sum at all, either directly or indirectly. That's good to know.
But you did send him a sexy assistant, didn't you? So the lockdown debate is lost. I mean, that is true that the lockdown debate is lost. It seems that we're going to be locked down in perpetuity, regardless of the damage and regardless of the ineffectiveness of it. I don't, I just, the vaccine passport, Didn't Boris come out and say no mandatory vaccines? And didn't he say something about there not being?
He also said you'd have Christmas. He also said this will be over by Christmas.
That's true. So. That's true. I mean, I guess what we'll do is we'll look to Keir Starmer and find out what Keir Starmer's opinion on the vaccine.
And then 2 weeks later, we'll know it'll be policy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lena says, can a woman simp? If so, I'm here to simp for Carl. Love you guys. See, you guys can brag about having the majority of simps, but I'm the only one with a woman as a simp, so get wrecked.
Yeah, but that's your wife.
Maybe, probably. I'm Not Your Buddy Guy says, I'm absolutely so sick of the media's lies for the past 4 years that I honestly wonder how they do not qualify for committing sedition. Am I wrong? I they're allowed to lie. There's just nothing we can do about it. There's just perpetual lies, constantly. The Washington Post can just come out and lie about this Trump's call, which was not as they represented it. Laura, what was her name? Sorry? I can't remember her name. This Laura Duffel? The NHS activist who's a Labour supporter can just lie, and the BBC is just like, okay, good enough for us.
Yeah, well, they're in on it.
So. Yeah, well, they're in on it. Yeah, they love it. They want this. Like, they all benefit.
They're also
from
part
it.
Of the Labour Party.
They are. And the thing that annoys me about it as well is that they all benefit, because us being media, we get to work. We get to come to the office. We're exempt from all of this. Mm. And so are they. And they get to have this particular kind of crowning spot at the top where we are the official broadcaster. We are telling you what the official policy has come to us. Ah, you're all within our glorious golden gaze. And it's like, yeah, this is creepy and I hate it. Anyway, Pirate Skeleton says, Trump does anything. The media. That's treason. Which is ironic coming from the faction that's literally tried to overthrow a legitimately elected president and constantly supports breakaway sections of the United States. Just weird, isn't it? Greg Harris for 50 US dollary dues. Thank you, Greg. That's really generous, man. The regular people in the US are fed up with the swamp. Revolution starts on the 6th. I think we're legally obliged to say disavow, so disavow. Hmm. Possible pilot deviation says, I'm so sick of it all. We are past reconciliation. I've decided I'm just going to go on with my life, buy guns and ammo, and wait for them to come. Well, I mean, definitely make sure you have home defense. That's definitely safe advice we can give. You are completely within your rights to buy guns and ammo in the United States, which is what people have been doing. Eazy-E says, the level of gaslighting is a sign that they're worried they'll lose. In politics, it's easy to apply Hanlon's razor and forget most moves are intentional. It is, and I don't know whether they are or aren't. That's the thing. Well, I was suspicious about the Pelosi vandalism thing, because I thought that, like, when I first saw it, I thought Pelosi was then going to be tweeting, I'm a victim, look how much of a victim I am, give me sympathy, because I thought it was going to be a bit of an inside thing where, you know, right, you know, she'll pay some activist to go, right,
put a swastika on her own house.
Exactly. You know, put a pig's head there, give them, you know, $2,000 checks so I can look like I'm a fighter for the little guy and stuff like that. But she didn't tweet anything, and it's like, right, okay, that's interesting. You know, that makes it look like it's less in control. Lars Peter Simonson says, have you considered making a book on what the exact making book on what exact time the podcast is interrupted by sirens every day? Happy New Year to you all. Well, no, but maybe we should. Maybe someone in the chat could do it. Mojo Ish says, nicely Carl already trying out the prison grey sweatshirt. Man, this is a nice sweatshirt. I thought it looked quite good. But probably, yeah. I mean, do they have stripes? I don't know what we wear in UK prisons. I don't know.
No, I don't think we do.
Just orange boiler suits, probably.
Not orange, but yeah.
Michael VPS says, I fear we soon will need a lot of rope and trees.
Yeah. Disavow.
Disavow, yeah, yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Sorry, I didn't mean to agree with that, YouTube. I meant disavow. Possible pilot deviation.
That's good, yeah,
yeah. There used to be a great tool used to control riotous crowds like Antifa. It was called Case Shot. Disavow, but Ted Wheeler's probably going to be avowing that fairly soon. The Engaged Few says, the greatest irony of doing nothing as protests against police brutality become riots is that it makes the public supportive of heavy-handed and authoritarian policing. And now Ted Wheeler has all the reason he needs to just wheel that out against all of the millennial middle-class left-wingers in Portland.
Just imagine, like, Ted Wheeler with rolling out the cannons. Load the grape shot,
yeah,
lads!
Yeah, a whiff of grape shot will get rid of them.
Anyway.
Just
God.
I didn't think it added in him, to be honest.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Just him with a Napoleonic hat,
yeah,
and a cannon. Yeah. The next one up, please, John. MuteStream, any clear connections between Antifa and China? I mean, well, they're both communists, so that's one connection. Stuart McLean, can you burn a police station, burn a courthouse, and all is good, but burn my Starbucks and it's war? Yeah. Well, apparently you can even burn Ted Wheeler's house and he's going to be like, well, calm down, lads. You know, I'll just move. I'm the problem. Kerry Willis, thank you very much for the donation. We really appreciate it. Thunderstorm, upper class wine club party acronym UCWCP. They seem to be feudalistic and love global slavery. I haven't heard of that, I'm afraid.
Probably something in Beverly Hills.
Wouldn't surprise me. Easy says, California wants tax-funded socialism. Also, California wants to ban one of the most taxed consumer products. Yes. Everything they do is contradictory. And as Hugo said, they just do the opposite of what a regular person would do because they're socialists.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this just before we went live, but Joe Biden's manifesto and the Democrats are trying to make it, well, they have made it in California. If you give someone HIV, that's decriminalized. That's not a crime.
Yeah.
But, and that's in the manifesto for give Joe them Biden's a cigarette. America. But if you want to give someone COVID, that's got to be dealt with. And it's like, well, okay, well, which one of these deadly diseases matters? Like,
which would you rather have, COVID or HIV?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a pretty easy answer as well.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like the would you rather be black or ugly?
Yeah. The Engaged View says, I wonder if Beverly Hills will shut down the cigar bars too. Something tells me they won't. Well, incidentally, no, they're not. The cigar bars are exempt from this, incidentally, because that happens to be where rich people like to go to drink brandy and smoke cigars. Again, I know because I've actually been there, and it's really nice to do, actually, I've got to say. But yeah, they are exempt. Ophanave says, statism replaces voluntary meritocracy with involuntary abusocracy. It will only get worse until Ancapistan. Unfortunately, it's what comes after that's the problem. I mean, we really are in sort of Weimar territory at the moment, and everyone keeps saying it, but it's really true. And they keep saying, oh, we're worried about the far-right backlash. And it's like, yeah, me too. Voltaire's Puppet says,
capitalism ho.
Yes.
In response to me saying in the report you'd say worker. Yes, but that doesn't really work. I can't say I'm the consumer working on the experiment.
Yeah. MuteStream says, as a person with asthma, I don't mind less tobacco. That being said, I don't think anything should be banned to use. No respect others, twats. Well, that's the thing. You know, don't personally use it yourself. And, you know, if you've got lung problems or, you know, whatever, bronchial problems, I'm not going to blow smoke in your face or something.
Just banning indoor smoking seems fine. Perfectly reasonable to me.
Well, yeah, in public places.
But why would you ban it from the state? Like, why not alcohol?
It's not even the state, it's the city. Yeah. But anyway, Ace Koala says, I'm running for county commissioner in my state next election to secede from the communist state of Washington. I'm tired and I think separation is the only answer. I think we've got to disavow that. I'm not your buddy guy, says Democrats literally in bed with the CCP.
He's running for a position, so that's fine. That's legal. Anyway.
Yeah, but is secession legal?
I mean, if you're in I don't know what YouTube's terms are. Let's just go disavow.
Yeah, we'll just disavow to be sure.
Like, the SNP are terrorists according to YouTube's terms, if that's true, but...
Well, I mean, they're terrorists, terrorists according to my terms. Yeah. Democrats literally in bed with the CCP is literally true. Chanticus Maximus says, hi, Carl. On topic of gender pronouns, some of my friends frequently call people they or them instead of he or she. Am I right to be annoyed? Well, yeah, you're right for a few reasons. Like you say, he and she have actually got information that they and them don't contain. So they tell you a lot about an individual just in, you know, what a two or three letter word. But more importantly, they or them are just grammatically incorrect because they refer to plurals. And there's the counter argument. Like, ah, but this is an example in 1607 where someone used they in a singular usage.
Obviously manufactured. Yeah, don't give me this nonsense.
Yeah, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I was reading this essay in the 1960s and then I came up with it or something. Like, yeah. No, you weren't. Well, you just made up and then made an excuse for
it. Yeah, they'll literally be like, well, Shakespeare used it once. And it's like, okay, yeah, but Shakespeare was wrong then, wasn't he?
But that's the point. They didn't read Shakespeare and then go, oh, that'll be a solution.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you went studying back to try and find a solution for your nonsense.
Exactly. And again, it introduces elements of uncertainty into the communication that you're having. Yeah. So yeah, they're trying to mess with what you perceive and understand about their message.
Well, it's just not English.
I don't want to go on a full rant, but
English is, you know, a language that evolves. This is obviously manufactured.
Sure. Yeah, but aside from the fact that it's obviously manufactured, it's manufactured to interfere with the amount of information you get with the communication. So they are trying to interrupt your thought processes. They're trying to fool you. you. You know, this is why, again, this is why I'm going to do a big thing on it, because I've been doing a lot of work on this, and it's really, you're not wrong at all to be annoyed. Anyway, Davy Joe says, 57K minus 99% is 570. The deaths they are panicking over and taking your individual rights away are in the 99% plus survival rate reported by CDC. Yeah, that's something I should have made more of an issue of, actually. Less than 1% deaths. Again, 99% survival rate, shut down society, end of your rights, showing that we actually live in a fascist state. King of the Universe says, you should look into Oregon's government's tyranny, Kate Brown in particular. Been a fan for years, thanks. I would love to, it's just really time.
I don't know that much about her, but she was a scumbag in regards to the Antifa violence. She was asked to send in state troopers and just said no. So they sent in the federal troopers and she was like, fascism!
Yeah, like, what? And that's the same, it was the same message from Ted Wheeler. Don't then, send these in, Donald.
But then when the federal troopers were taken out, that was only done after a deal was made with her to send in state troopers. So by her logic, she's a fascist now.
I mean, I agree. Catch OX16 says, I feel like Labour are trying to do as much damage as possible, bankrupt the nation, then argue the need for wealth distribution. Well, that's because that's exactly what they're doing, because that is exactly the method of communist revolutions. Like, you can't have a communist revolution. This was exactly what Marx and all of the rest were complaining about.
Capitalism's too good.
Yeah, capitalism is flexible as well. So if people are like, oh, we want like the NHS or we want a social safety net, capitalism can actually provide that. And then that removes the impetus towards revolution because people are getting their needs met. And it's only when people aren't getting their needs met or are feeling oppressed or can't do anything that they would feel the need for a revolution. And if you're trying to create a revolution, you would create the conditions where people would be receptive to that. F.A. Tuesday says, your thoughts, you got a prime minister who was Donald Trump's doppelganger. What you got was George W. Boris. It's worse than George W. Boris.
George W. sounds base.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think Bush would be nearly as bad as Boris at the moment.
I mean, I agree. We should be able to live with fish in harmony.
And to be honest with you, I reckon if I chucked a shoe at Boris, I'd hit him. I don't think Bush has got reactions, man. Anyway, Spade. Hello, Carl. If you ever check out Canadian politics, check out videos for our Conservative MP, Pierre Poly. I can't pronounce that.
French.
Grill the commie libs. Yeah, what happened to Maxime Bernier?
I don't know. He split off from the party. And
yeah, because I want him to win. He's great. I was listening to him. He's got this very respectable tone, and he says exactly the right things. It's like, wow, even a Frenchman can make sense. Amazing. Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, why shouldn't you all accept the school closures, given how heavily indoctrinating the schools are? Isn't this an opportunity to create traditionalists?
It's a silver lining.
Not really. The thing is, the school system, the curriculum, at least the local curriculum in this area, is actually not that bad. I'm a dad.
Your son's rather young.
Well, my son's in a private school because I'm not sending him to a state school. But my daughter's at a state school, but it's actually a pretty good school. I'm not going to say which one it is. But I looked at the curriculum and I'm actually quite impressed at the things she's got to do on it. Like, they have a moral philosophy section where she's come home and has been explaining essentially anti-SJW concepts to me when I've been asking her about it. And I'm like, okay, that's good. and then we had a discussion about the Battle of Hastings and like she was doing, learning all this in history. I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, that's actually something decent. So, the quality
of school,
yeah, it depends on the school, unfortunately. Right. But at the end of the day, like there's a lot of the curriculum that just isn't politically focused. So like mathematics, science, you know, English literature, language, things that are just their general talents and general understanding of the world they're going to need. And frankly, I don't think parents are actually equipped to do homeschooling anymore. You know, there's too much going on. Easy says, online learning for 2 weeks equals total shutdown of in-person learning. They tried that for schools in the US. Teachers tend to like their vacations. Yeah, it's not just that. It's like, I've noticed, like, I have had to sit down with my children and, you know, go with my son particularly and work on his handwriting, work on his reading, work on his maths are pretty good actually. But I've noticed a decline in these things as he's not been at school. And so I've had to sit there and make him for literally hours fucking writing over and over and over MNO. And he hates it, but like it's got to be done. And I would rather pay someone else to do this because I've got too much to do myself.
Like, yeah. I've got talents enough to make, you know, I'd be more productive doing other things than teaching the M.
Well, it's not just that. I've got to do other things. Like, you know, like my wife's got a newborn baby to look after. You know, she's, there's too much going on, and provisions have not previously been made.
So, Radio TV, my wife is a children's nurse at a major hospital outside of London. Says the wards have been quieter this
I've
Christmas.
Never been quieter.
Sorry, never been quieter this Christmas, but were told to prepare for the worst 2 months ago.
Yep.
Weird, isn't it?
Same at Swindon Great Western when we went there for the birth of my son about a month ago. The nurses are just like, there's nothing particularly going on. Malthius Germano, thank you for the donation. Lucian Sarkar, the British Empire is Germany's greatest achievement. In my mind, changed my mind. Anglo-Saxons. I'm gonna work on a giant thesis to divorce the idea of the British Empire from Germany. Zeranex,
I'm riled by that framing.
Like you are literally talking about a 1,500 year disconnect there. But okay. Zeranek says, regarding wanting the kids and destruction of the family, look up Charles Fourier, died 11 years before Seneca Falls con and said marriage is prison for women. People must understand women are the weakest link in family chain. It's uncomfortable but true. Look at the policies allowance on behalf of women. Fall of Rome by... You've got to stop abbreviating as much as you're doing. But the destruction of the family, I mean, that's not new. Every communist wants the destruction of the family. And you can read this in all the manifestos. Marx wanted the destruction of the family. Kropotkin wanted it. Lenin expected it. Like, these all expect that there'll
it's
be, like,
surprise.
Expanded communal families. And that's what Black Lives Matter have been arguing for. It takes a village to raise a child. No, it takes parents to raise a child. You lazy grifters. Tigriff says, the weather is out of our control. What is the government going to do about it? 111. Exactly. Well, that's a great way of framing it.
You know about the CIA, right? They were actually trying to make weather control devices.
And we will talk about that on a platform that allows us to discuss conspiracy theories. But that's exactly the right framing. You know, Keir Starmer's like, Boris, the weather's out of control. What are you going to do about it? Boris is like, oh, I'm going to lock down the country to make sure it never rains again. Okay, great. Jesus Fried Christ, hey Carl, don't bother wasting time with the morally and intellectually corrupt centre-left Canuck Tories. Maxime Bernier and the PPC are our only hope. I agree. DOA salesman says, my parents started a channel about a small farm living in Spain. I'd like to surprise them. It's called Just Raking It In 101. Feel free to make suggestions. That sounds awesome. Stillman Fisher for $50. Thanks, man. Hi, Carl. I've been watching your content since 2013. You've been a huge influence on my political views. Cheers to many more years of success. Much love from the US. Well, thank you very much. Political Pothead says, UN said millions will die from starvation in developing nations from lockdowns. When a virus mutates, becoming more transmissible, it becomes less deadly. Yeah, I've seen this being bandied around by medical experts, not just randos on Twitter. But I haven't taken the time to look into it because the new strain was so new. So they're like, oh, well, we don't have any data. But it tends to be these things are less deadly.
Yeah. Like, I think the initial lockdowns in response was so it doesn't spread so fast across the globe.
Yeah.
But once it's at that point, it's already in France, it's already in Finland. Yeah, yeah.
And like the previous chap calculated, this is less than 1% death rate on this. And I bet if we were to look at all of these, the average age of death would be in the 80s. So it's like, right. It's
just is it proportional?
It's nature carrying on as normal at this point. Fabio Kaysaker says, cheers from Brazil. Have some pennies in the form of our terrible currency. Well, thank you very much. Matthew Hammond says, 10-day Senate committee is a counting heads to know who needs to be challenged in primaries 2022. I think it was Sticks that did a video on it, doubtless. And yeah, anyone who's acting in any way concordant with the Democrats on these issues, you need to get rid of them. Anyway, David Franco says... ever heard of Michael Malice? Dude has some great arguments for a stateless world. Starting to believe more and more that it's the most moral system. I am familiar with Michael Malice, but I haven't heard his arguments on anarchism. But he seems like a fun guy. I watched him on, was it in Tim Pool with Alex Jones? And I mean, it was entertaining. I like the fact that he was prepared to put the cat among the pigeons and, you know, like keep Alex Jones, keep going higher and higher. So Tim's like getting further out of his depth. Political Pothead says, an hour ago, a UK judge just denied Assange's extradition to the US, yet he's not being released. I think it's got something to do with the possible pardon. Trump, yeah. Come on, buddy. You know, we know you're listening. You need to pardon him. Chrissy Starsky says, how does one run against this? Good work, folks. Just a long, long answer that we'll get to another time. Jake Bartlett says, are you familiar with Canada's Wexit? I'm not. If the US splits, could we see the same in Canada and opposing sides unifying with their foreign counterpart? Couldn't tell you. wouldn't dare predict. The Earl of Longford says, mandatory donation, how goes the Irish lessons? Poorly? Maybe I'll put Hugo on that.
I've been reading about the famine, but
oh God.
I don't want to say anything concrete until I've read more. So
right,
that's how the Irish lessons go for me.
So not great, but please stop signing because we do have to crack on.
There he is.
Oh God.
Right, okay. The Northerners do occasionally decide your government, and the EU makes noise about ROI interests.
Right.
Republic of Ireland interest.
Okay, Zoranak says, regarding lockdown, video of woman says media never brought anyone to talk about the potential remedies prior to the vaccine. Can you confirm for UK Europe? We can't offhand, but we'll see if we can find anything. Annie Kay says, another lady simp here for Carl, even though you're a manlet. My Wikipedia bio is a lie, okay? For some reason, like, there's this thing going around like, on Wikipedia that I'm 5'4", and it's like...
Yeah, he's really 4'3".
Yeah, but the worst thing is I saw it being promoted by people who have met me in person. It's like, I'm taller than you, and you know I'm not 5'4". Assholes. But yeah, so I'm 5'9". I'm totally average. So I'm, and honestly, when you're 5'9", that's important.
It clearly doesn't matter to you. Listen, keeping like up the great work,
seven,
guys.
You're
on.
Like 5'7". You're about the same height as me. Josh is the only person in the office that's taller than me.
That's totally true, which is why it's interesting that you're taking it so personally.
I am taking this personally. Thanks, Annie.
Like, surely someone who's 6 foot wouldn't care, but...
Moving on.
Nanda Dido. I researched the worst possible worldwide pandemic for my lockdown project. Something I could remember easily.com. I'd love if you'd read it.
That's a great name.
Cleric of Keck. I really hope that's not pornography.
Something I could remember easily.com is a great name for a website.
Yeah.
Mute Stream says, only Hugo is worth simping for. Team Hugo. Okay, you can get out, Hugo. Ronan Clark says, do you think the 11 rogue senators will get anywhere this time around? No, actually, I'm not very optimistic, but Josh Hawley and the rogue senators who are going to contest, Godspeed. I hope. I mean, the problem is the opposition are just like, well, look, if we don't engage with anything you're saying, we just deny, then nothing can happen. And it's like, okay, well, then I guess the Republic's over, isn't it? The Grand Inquisitor says, if a woman simping for Sargon, does that mean she's idolizing mediocre penis? What?
I can't believe you fell for reading that.
I can't believe my ex-girlfriends are sending us super chats.
Getting groped by our exes, huh?
Honestly, I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
Oh.
Novo Pranek says, well, yeah, body pillow comment is more relevant to a discussion, unlike my comments, and that's true. Dagras the Man says, wish I could say I'm surprised. Pelosi is still Speaker. We need to find her a phylactery and smash it. You guys don't know what a phylactery is, do you?
No.
Shut up, nerds. Phylactery is where a leash contains, the soul of the leash is contained. And so when you destroy the physical body of a leash, it goes back to the phylactery and they regenerate. That's Nancy Pelosi.
The heck is a leash?
Okay, yeah, fair. An undead wizard.
Yeah, of course I'd know that.
Yeah. Well, why aren't you... I thought I was hiring people on their nerd credentials. True Burner said, President Pelosi 2020, basically. Amar Amar says, if your politicians are compromised and become the elite class, how do you enact change? Well, you should vote them out. But for some reason, people keep voting for Democrats. And Mitch McConnell.
Even from the grave. Snafu. If the politicians get the same laws put on them as they do us, how quickly do you think they would stop being so tyrannical assets for the globalists? Totally true. Like, the worst one I saw was like government gyms being allowed to stay open throughout the whole lockdown in the US.
Yep.
It was just like,
and then there's all of the list of mostly Democrat politicians or left-wing politicians who are just violating their own lockdown rules. Yep. They just don't care.
Angry Bellsprout. I'm up hours earlier than usual, but at least I get to toss in a $5 for everyone's favorite far-right white supremacist after years of demonetization.
Well, thank you very much. And obviously, we're not far-right or white supremacist.
I'm not your buddy guy. Math, not political. Did you miss the whole 2 plus 2 equals 5? Just pure insanity.
Thankfully, that mostly exists on Twitter and not in my children's schoolwork yet.
They're still arguing about it.
I know. That's
hilarious.
But it's because it can't be resolved.
Delmar, hey Carl, my mother and I are to start keto soon. Any tips on how to start? By the way, love the show. Keep it up.
Yeah, just make sure you don't have carbs in the house is the easiest way because you'll get cravings and you'll want them. Definitely have sugar-free alternatives to things you otherwise like. They don't taste as good, but you're going to need them. Like, you know, zero sugar Coke and like I order like huge boxes of sugar-free chocolate off Amazon because I still really want chocolate, but you can't get it anywhere else. But yeah, so that's basically the thing. But just be disciplined. Karma and Kerosene backup. Did you guys get your channel taken down or something? I'd like to see a non-YouTube option for Super Chats. I hate giving those leftists a cut of our money. Our money is the best weapon we have. YouTube banned my main account from sending any Super Chats. Man, this happened. We've got a report on it on LoadSeas.com where YouTube are just banning loads of user accounts. Just for
absolutely
screw
no
it.
Reason.
Yeah. Presumably wrong.
As for non, I don't know about Super Chats, but the website would be the best way to send stuff. I think you can send video comments as well.
Yes, you can. If you become a member on a gold tier, in fact. But it's silver tier as well, isn't it?
It will be silver tier.
Right. So, yeah, gold and silver tier members of the website can send us video comments.
So you'll get a prepaid Super Chat, so you don't have to do it every time, and we'll have them on when that's set up.
Yes. So it will be very soon. Zoranx, Black Pigeon Speaks, try to avoid censorship. Everyone's trying to avoid censorship. Opha Knave says, please chat with Brett Vainot of schoolsucksproject.com. Maybe. Raw Name, met you in person, Carl. You're a man at 6'2" here. Yeah, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, that's only 6'2", would say that.
Nathan Brake, Carl's tall enough to be in the first cohort of the Legion. He's perfect height. Yeah, but what people fail to remember is that the Roman Legion's average height was 5'4". So the entire world was conquered by an army of manlets.
So, manlets, rise up.
Yeah, exactly. the Gauls must have been furious because the average height of a Gaul was 6 foot. Like, you've got these little guys just shank, shank, shank.
But then you're being ruled over them, like, they're in the city.
Yeah.
And you're just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Just tiny little Roman manlet in a toga telling all these giants what to do. Lawbeard Plays, $5. Thank you very much. And Sujan says, you pronounce leash wrong, it's lich. No, that's because you're an American, okay? Possibly not with a name like Sujad, but that's the American pronunciation.
Also donating in euros.
Stop taking the American pronunciation euros. It's leash.
Well, if you are foreign and you learn international English, they do teach the Americans for everything, so that might be a reason.
We've all got excuses, but that just sounds like coke. Anyway, I'm going to go... We'll end it there. I'm going to go buy some platform shoes. And we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you all for watching. And again, you can sign up on LotusSeas.com if you'd like more content.